किं तद् ब्रह्म किम् अध्यात्मं किं कर्म पुरुषोत्तम अधिभूतं च किं प्रोक्तम् अधिदैवं किमुच्यते भगवद्गीता 8.1. सो अर्जुन बी अटेंटिव हियरर इज इमीडिएटली रेजिंग क्वेश्चंस अबाउट सम अनफेमिलियर टर्म्स और अनफेमिलियर यूसेजेस ऑफ फेमिलियर टर्म्स that have occurred in Krishna's speech in the last two verses of the previous chapter. So Arjuna is asking about Kim Tad Brahma. What is Brahma? Kim Karma Purushottama. Oh Krishna, you are Purushottama. You are capable of answering all questions. The best among all people. So please explain.
Kimadhyatma.
What is Adhyatma? Adibhutam chakim
proktam.
What is called as Adibhuta? Adidaivam kimuchyate. And what is Adidaivam? So in the previous verses, 7.29 and 30, Krishna used these words. Jara marana mokshaya mama shitte tanti yete brahma tadvido krishnam adhyatmam karma chakhilam.
So here is used the word brahma, adhyatma and karma.
And in 7.30, he has stated sadhi bhuta adhi daivam mam sadhi yagyam chaye viduhu prayana kale pichamam. Devidur yukta chetasaha.
So he's asked Sadibhu. So one who understands me to be the Adibhuta, Adidaivan, Adiyagya,
which a person can remember Prayana Kale Pichama. That person can remember even at the time of that. Devidur yukta chetasaha.
Person will be in proper consciousness even at the time of death.
So the questions, the terms which are used in 29th text, they comprise the first half of this verse. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama. So brahma, adhyatma and karma are terms which are in the 29th text, and then the remaining terms Adibhuta and Adidaiva are from the 30th verse. And Arjuna will continue the question in the next verse also, where he'll ask about the last term and about Prayanaka Adiyagyam Katham Kotra Dehe Smin Madhusudana Prayanaka Lechakatam Geyo Sinyatatma Bhi. Who is Adiyagya? How is he situated in the body? And how can the regulated soul know you at the time of Prayana Kala, at the time of death? So we'll discuss the questions, discuss the term specifically when Arjuna's questions are answered by Krishna in text 3 and 4. Here, it is right now focus on the underlying principles. The underlying principles here are that in the field of spiritual inquiry, there are no easy ways out. It means that sometimes we may think that we know particular words, but we may well find that what we know are not actually the words, are just the words. We don't know the concepts associated with those words. Or we may find that we understand the words in one context as associated with one aspect of the concept. But then the words are used either to refer to some other concept or some other aspect of the concept. If you look at a dictionary, sometimes words
have multiple meanings. So, for example, in English, we consider the word spiritualist. Now, spiritualist can be the proper noun, can be the noun referring to the person who either practices spiritualism or who practices spirituality. There is no difference in terms of the noun form thereof.
So spirituality refers to a concept very different from spiritualism. Spirituality is the emphasis on the spiritual side of things. You consider spiritual subjects to be important. They are called as spiritualists. They are said to be studying spirituality, and then they are studying or practicing spirituality. And those who do this are called as spiritualists. Spiritualism is a different ball game entirely. The word spirits is used in English to refer to the ghostly beings who are presently existing in a disembodied state. Such beings can be contacted using planchettes and some other mystical means, and the methods for contacting them, maybe getting some messages from them, they are called as spiritualism. Usually, for this, the word spirits, these beings are called as spirits. It's a plural. Whereas when we talk about the soul, if at all we use the word spirit, we use it singular. Now, why we are discussing this here is that just as words can have multiple meanings, the word spiritualist can refer to one who stresses the spiritual side of life and one who tries to communicate with spirits. So similarly, the word Brahma can have multiple meanings. The word karma can have multiple meanings. So when Krishna has used them in a particular context in the previous, in two verses earlier, in 7.29, Arjuna wants to know what is the meaning of that word in that context, and he also wants to know the general definition of the word. So here Krishna is asking, these terms are not unfamiliar to him, but he wants to understand their precise definitions as well as the contextual application of those terms in the context that Arjuna has heard Krishna speak a few verses earlier. So, every question arises from a particular context. And to the extent we understand that context, to that extent we can understand both the question and the answer that comes. Because every answer may not be universal in its scope. It's like if somebody asks, if a diabetes patient asks a doctor, should I eat so and so food? The doctor may say, no, you should not. Now that may not apply for everyone. Others may be able to eat that food, at least in moderation, without any harmful effects. But this person will not be able to eat. So to the extent we understand the context, to that extent we can understand the meanings more precisely, and thus we can understand the overall flow of the Gita. Thank you.